evening. Welcome to the Solari Report. Today is July 14th, 2016. I'm Catherine Alston Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Events coming up. I'm leaving tomorrow for Switzerland. I'll be in Zurich, then the Rhone Valley, Lake Constance, and then back in Zurich with a day trip to Amsterdam on the 26th for lunch with Catherine. And I'm really looking forward to seeing all of you who are coming out in Amsterdam. It's going to be a small but very terrific group. Our theme tonight is the old headline switcheroo. Last week, we watched Washington fill up the pages of the headlines, the brouhaha about the manner of FBI's failure to indict Hillary Clinton on the email scandal and the explosion of anger given Loretta Lynch's, the Attorney General's meeting with Bill Clinton and other facts in and around the situation. Suddenly, that was wiped from the headlines by the events in Dallas on Friday. In my opinion, there was a 99% chance that it was a false flag operation. Oddly, not, or maybe not so oddly, just as happened with the last lone assassin in Dallas. The Patsy got killed, so he can't testify as to what really happened. I think coming into that, into Friday, what you had going on was a very significant change in consciousness. I think you saw American and global citizens fed up with Washington, fed up with the U.S. corporate media, and in a way that really deeply threatened corporate media ratings, threatened government tax flows, not to mention government soft power and currency status. I'm reminded of the quote that we heard during the primary, our enemies do not fear us and our allies do not respect us. And I think the headlines were getting very dangerous in terms of that kind of shift of consciousness. If you look at what happened in goals, what happened in Dallas, there are multiple goals. One is to get Washington off the front page. The divide and conquer continues, very important for controlled terrorism. We've seen again and again the general population loses support of government, and then violence happens, and all of a sudden there's more support for government. But this time we're seeing a real effort to promote militarization and centralization of the police, the need for, quote-unquote, a federal police force. You do not want to let this happen. Right now, the ultimate authority, enforcement authority in your jurisdiction is your sheriff. That's local control. You do not want to ever turn that over to central control. That would be a terrible thing. And, of course, the effort is also to get gun control. It's another reason to stop paying attention to the presidential elections and to pay attention to your local elections, particularly who your local sheriff is, and to get to know your local sheriff and your local police and start to communicate with them about how you can support and help them. We need better communication between communities and their police, your police, and we need to make sure that federalization of police doesn't happen. We're watching an increasing number of violations of the Constitution by federal officials, and in many, many cases, this is going to come down to efforts to violate your constitutional rights, and it's going to be ultimately a local issue where if your county and your municipality and your sheriff are organized, you can do something about it. So now what was interesting is we followed the deaths with a memorial service. We saw a very unusual thing happen. George W. Bush literally had a meltdown in the memorial service, where he was dancing and behaving on stage in very inappropriate ways. It looks to me like he was probably on some kind of drugs or alcohol or combination. The only way I can say is mind control programming is breaking down. And unfortunately, it is a perfect little metaphor for the fact that government is increasingly unreal. I've had a lot of conversations with people who seem to be thinking, well, if the leadership is going to be lawless, why can't I? And I think it's very important to understand that the law, first and foremost, is not something that is owned or controlled or created by government. First and foremost, it comes from a covenant that we have with each other. It's an agreement. It's an agreement by culture. It's agreement by character. It's what we share. And we have a covenant under the Constitution to protect and respect each other's individual rights and responsibilities. And I finally, I put two things up on the blog to help. One was I made a list of the different salary reports we've done in recent years on divide and conquer. I put it up under the title of Divide and Conquer Anecdotes. It's very, very important to not fall into the divide and conquer trap. And I assure you the divide and conquer programming, whether men versus women or black versus white, is off the charts. So don't fall for it. But there's some anecdotes because we've done a lot of work over the last year or two to help protect you from that. The second thing is I put up a sort of a rant called To My Fellow Citizens. I just want to read it. You can find it up on the website. And I start off with a quote from the Declaration of Independence. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Again, from the Declaration of Independence. What binds us together? First and foremost, it is a commitment to the covenant we share. That covenant is in our hearts and minds. It is the basis of our culture and our law. The formal law means nothing without it. The world is full of forces that would tear us apart. Don't let them. Yes, shun the lawless, but hold the covenant in your heart and uphold the law to protect the lawful. And why should you be lawful when those around you are not? Because the law cannot be destroyed by government nor by the lawless. As John Adams said, the revolution was in the hearts and minds of the people. Government officials are behaving like criminals. Bankers are behaving like criminals. But in the hierarchy of our reality, these people come and go. They are not the source of our covenant, nor are they the source of our power. Our freedoms come to us by divine authority. As the Declaration of Independence also clearly states, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Our current government looks like Kipling's servant who has run wild. And I'm just going to read you the first part of one of my favorite Kipling poets about a servant when he reigneth. Three things make earth unquiet, and four she cannot brook. The godly augur counted them and put them in a book. These four tremendous curses with which mankind is cursed, but a servant when he reigneth, old augur entered first. Now, government does not have the power to destroy our covenant. Only we can destroy that covenant, and that is what we must not do. I'm alive today because hundreds of people insisted on obeying the law despite multiple efforts and repeated orders to frame me by the richest, most powerful people in the world. Hundreds of people insisted on the law because they were committed to that covenant that we share, because it was in their character. It cost some of them their jobs. Some took great risk. I tell you that the law is alive. It continues to live in the hearts and the minds of the people. That is what counts. That is what is worthy of your attention. Ignore the criminals. Invest in the people around you on whom you can count. Yes, corruption is rampant, but that does not mean that you and I must be corrupt. Debasement is everywhere, but that does not mean that you and I cannot strive to be excellent. My dear friend Thomas Hupp always says, the bigger the breakdown, the bigger the breakthrough. There is a lot that is breaking down around us. That's because it needs to break down. It's not working. Whatever is being born begins with a covenant that we share, with our commitment to freedom and individual rights. Our individual choice will come down to this: free or slave. I tell you, freedom is worth everything. Freedom starts with nurturing our covenant. Freedom is worth living, fighting, and dying for, no matter what the cost. So that freedom will flourish, let's nurture our covenant to protect and honor our individual rights, freedoms, and responsibilities. Quote, therefore, all things, whatever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Jesus Christ from the Sermon on the Mount. Anyway, that's my rant. But I tell you, our covenant is real. Do not let it be destroyed by anybody or anything. They'd love to do that, but our power comes from that covenant. Our next challenge, we're facing a new and very aggressive wave of mind control. If you think the entrainment and subliminal programming to date has been bad, or you think that the Kingsman campaign is bad, there's a new game out for kids called Pokemon Go. If you can watch videos, I put one up on the website that describes how it works. you have kids literally walking around around in parks and outdoors. You had two guys walk over a cliff yesterday. Let me just read you something sent in by a subscriber. It came from a blog. My kids started playing Pokemon Go for the first time yesterday. By 9 p.m., having visited every park and historical site within 5 miles of the house, I took their phones away. It's electronic crack. And yes, I think it was invented by the CIA. I'm not kidding you. It was creepy watching people walking around the local park, every single one of them nose to the screen playing this godforsaken game. Not just the usual nose to the screen things so many people do these days. I'm talking full intense concentration to the point they were stumbling over and bumping into things, and they just kept doing it anyway. They were like zombies. Nobody talking to each other, nobody looking up, just doing a slow walk around the place, phone in hand, almost dead silent. Anyway, so let me turn around and read next what came in from another great ally. I presume you've already seen this news. Looks like 5G is getting fast-tracked. Email below from Josh Jasol of Take Your Power. It strikes me as a big step towards technology and transhumanism. What we're talking about is a very significant increase in the presence of the kind of wireless needed to pull together the Internet of Things and also handle virtual reality. Again, you can read more about it up on the website. I put the links up, and some of the things they sent, the Take Back Your Power has some great links and information about all of this technology. We saw an Australian reporter suspended by ABC recently. It was Dr. Marianne DeMasi, suspended over science program claiming Wi-Fi causes brain tumors, which it does. But a very interesting story. You can see that up on the website. I just put up, or I'll have put up by the end of the day tomorrow, a new paper that someone sent on chronic diseases and how they relate to the same time period as the explosion of cell service. Anyway, as I said, 5G is going to bring out virtual reality or make it easier to use virtual reality applications. And if you think the mind control that's going on now is bad, wait till you see what can be done with virtual reality. Please protect yourself and protect your family. We have Solari reports on mind control, Solari reports on entrainment, Solari reports on dirty electricity. We'll be doing more of that. I have some book reviews up we've done over the last 2 years on Dr. John Hall's book on using satellites and these kind of electronics for dirty tricks. Gloria Naylor's book, 1996, and then Mark Rich did a series of books on the technology of control, and we reviewed those as well. And I've encouraged you, gruesome as it is, to watch the movie Kingsman. There's also a group of movies listed in the Solari report on mind control, a lot of movies on mind control. So here it's coming, and you just need to know that it's there and protect yourself. Money and markets. Brexit is moving through the British landscape. We see Cameron leave this week, and May, the former Home Secretary, come into Downing Street. The great pictures all over the global headlines of the May doing her curtsy to the Queen. The Queen looking unbelievably pleased right on the front of the Wall Street Journal. May is very much a nuts and bolts person, and a person. If you look at her background, very good background to lead the thing that they're dealing with. She started off at the Bank of England and spent many years at the Payments Association. So this is a woman who understands digital systems as well as enormous number of different parts of the economy. Given her resume, she's uniquely qualified and took one of her degrees in geography, which is always impresses me. She's created a Brexit czar. Conservative Party MP Gordon Davis will be in charge of designing the exit from the European Union. And interestingly enough, former city mayor Boris Johnson, who led the effort to get Brexit passed, is now back in as foreign secretary after he had to resign from running for the leadership. It's a very important signal. My guess is that Boris was the guy who got the job done. And I still continue to believe that the number one person who wanted Brexit to pass was the Queen, and she's looking mighty pleased with all the changes. It's interesting, Boris Johnson being foreign secretary, because he has a history of saying it like it is. He apparently likened Hillary Clinton to, quote, a sadistic nurse at a mental hospital, and once said, the only reason I wouldn't visit some parts of New York is the real risk of meeting Donald Trump. Anyway, I do think the Brits looking in horror at what was going on in the presidential election contributed to their desire to put space between them and the U.S. And Boris Johnson, as foreign secretary, seems to confirm that view. Anyway, it's interesting now that May is in. She's very much a nuts and bolts person, and I think that's what they want. But now they're pushing and playing the woman's card, which is part of this global soft power game. And if you look at the issues of productivity, we'll talk about in 2 weeks in our big thing for the second quarter wrap-up on productivity, you can understand why they're playing it. Big question, of course, is when they trigger Article 50, because that's when the clock to leave the European Union begins. Financial markets, equity markets are now up $2 trillion since Brexit. Our quote on our financial market charts for the second quarter wrap-up is buy the shock, new expression, but sure enough, the people who bought the shock have made a lot of money already. We now have $12 trillion in sovereign bonds, even more trading into negative interest rates because the Dutch bonds went negative last week, first time, and someone poured it out, 499 years. Governments and central bank around the world seem really committed to intervention. It's probably one of the reasons we're up to $2 trillion since Brexit. Abe was reelected, and Bernanke went out to Japan to meet with him and his staff. We also have a Fed governor now talking about helicopter money. And, of course, the central bank and central bank interventions and corporate buybacks are really a critical factor in the market, because we do not see any sign of broad-based buying from both institutional and retail accounts. It's much more corporate buybacks and central bank and government interventions. We're coming into earnings season, and with U.S. equity markets having hit all-time highs, the question is, can they keep going? It's one of the reasons I'm really looking forward next week to focusing on the Rambus blockbuster chartology in combination with our equity overview that we do quarterly. So we're combining them together, and we're going to take an in-depth look, because there are many sort of anomalies and serious questions as to where the equity markets go from here. So let's just take a look at what happened last week five trading days in the market. U.S. dollar index, again, stronger as a result of Brexit. It's now down 2.68% for the year, and my guess is probably headed into the positive. Fixed income markets have backed off a tad. The long 20-year Treasury ETF now up 17% for the year, which is still unbelievable. The intermediate up 7.5%. The aggregate bond up 5.5%, and junk, who would buy junk in this environment, up 10%. Equities, the S&P now up unbelievable 7% for the year. Home builders not doing as well, up 3.15%. The European ETF, VGK, now down 2.27%. That's a big improvement from where it was last week. Germany now down almost 3%, big improvement from last week. And the developed markets, minus North America, now flat for the year. China now up 1.5%, although that's the large caps. Small caps now still down 5.5%. And emerging markets up 12%. And I think a lot of that is commodities. The commodity index now up almost 8% for the year. Gold flying at 25%, silver flying at 46%. And of course, as we're going to talk with Rambus, the mining stocks are looking much better than bullion. We may be in for a real historic shift in that relationship. One of the stories that didn't get a lot of attention this week, it never does, is the courts have indicated that GM ignition switch civil suits can go forward. We have seen 124 deaths from the General Motors ignition switch really scandal. And it's amazing. Every time that starts to come into the headlines, suddenly you see a car company get attacked. Now the headlines are plastered with Tesla as a result of one death, still being argued who's responsible, related to the automatic driving system. Of course, major headlines for months over Volkswagen, who just paid a huge fine for something that caused zero deaths. You know, before that, we had hits, major hits on Toyota, again, something that caused no or little deaths. Meantime, GM with 124 deaths, everybody's pretending it's not happening. And the hypocrisy of the headline game on the car companies is outrageous. The Secret Space Program 2015 videos are now all available. They've been available to subscribers, but they're now up at the Secret Space Program YouTube channel. You can link to them from a post I put up on the website. And I would encourage you to send those to your friends. There's just tremendous information to help you understand your world. Coming up through the rest of July, I'm going to be in Switzerland. I'm going to miss it. We have the Bohemian Grove starting tomorrow. That's the a major group of decision makers in the United States coming together to the north of San Francisco, making a lot of important decisions now while the Congress is basically out for the summer. And those decisions will roll back to staff and have a major impact on what happens in the budget and could have a major impact on what happens in the campaign. We see the Republican convention going forward next week, then the Democratic convention following it. Sanders has come out and, surprise, surprise, given his full support to Hillary Clinton. Many of his supporters are now depressed. Donald Trump has signaled that Mike Pence, Indiana governor, is his choice for running mate. He's not going to make that announcement till Friday. So it's not over till it's announced. So let's see what he says. But likely Pence is the candidate. He's a first-term governor of Indiana. He had three terms in Congress, so he brings both Washington and gubernatorial experience and is a very solid straight shooter, very conservative guy. The next 2 weeks, as I said, is going to be particularly intense with those two conventions and the Grove. And it's a pig moving through the snake. It's probably a really good time to turn everything off and head to the beach or the mountains. Our hero this week is any parent who's got the courage to take their child's smartphone away and make sure they get a plain, old, clunky cell phone that does nothing but phone calls and then only for emergencies. We need to get our kids back in touch with the central world. And giving them a smartphone is basically giving a vehicle for the meanest, most dangerous people on the planet to access them and mind control them. So be very, very careful. Ask Catherine lots of good questions. Again, thanks for the links. You've sent some unbelievable links this week. I always think, you know, I love the expression, nobody is smart as all of us, but you all are very smart. Dear Catherine, the word has been embedded in Independence Day Resurgence. That's a new movie coming out. I guess it's the equivalent of part two of the first Independence Day. We're in the last line of the movie is, let's go kick some alien butt. A good alien arrives to open the movie and make the error of destroying it out of fear that it is the return of the previous aliens of 20 years ago. The core of the good visitor survives and provides the key and knowledge to our entire future in space and how to destroy the evil queen inside the massive enemy spaceship, who does in fact return and proceeds to annihilate civilizations. The movie calls for the global unity needed to repel the common enemy. Our Lady President consults with world leaders and then makes the final decisions when the administration is wiped out in Cheyenne Mountain. A general is sworn in as president. Much unity is on display. We are led by a Chinese-American general at the moon base. A Chinese lady is a hot pilot and the love object of a young American. The hive mind is demonstrated. A black American and a white American heal their differences and save each other's lives. The conclusion is obvious. Good aliens are helping us defeat the bad ones. And as a main character says at the end, let's take the fight to them. Off we go into the wild blue yonder of space to make the universe safe for ? Okay, I'll go see the movie. I wonder if Will Smith is in it again. Hi, Catherine. I never heard you say anything really about the Pentagon and where the money goes, and understandably so. There's a fine line between an activist and a traitor as we come closer and closer to a war, which I fought so desperately to avoid through awareness that I find myself pulling back on a number of issues. One of those is to be less critical of some of our military's positions. Okay, so we are spending $1 trillion a year globally on military and weaponry. This is absurd. If you look at all the needs we have for infrastructure, for coming into alignment with the environment, on and on and on, it's the whole model is inexplicable to me. And so I talk about them sometimes, but it's a much bigger issue than, it's certainly nothing I'm gonna turn to the Joint Chief of Staff and say, oh, it's their fault. What I talk a lot about is the $4 trillion going missing and the fact that we are way outside the laws related to the constitutional and the financial management acts, and of course that's primarily the Pentagon. And I've given a lot of speeches, including Secret Space Program 2014 and 2015, on the issues of the black budget and the discrepancies in the federal finances, and that all goes to the heart of the Pentagon and the leading defense contractors that run the information and payment systems, and also provide a lot of the weaponry and other services. So I feel like I've, at a systemic level, I've hit the Pentagon as hard as anybody on the planet. So I don't know what else I can say. I do believe in a strong defense. When you've behaved the way we've behaved around the world, and you're running a unipolar empire, and you're responsible for the reserve currency, much depends on the military. And frankly, if you look at our leadership, some of the highest quality people in our leadership remaining are in the military. And the military has a code of being very committed to the American people. And I've always found many people in the military to be so. So, in that sense, I think you have to be very careful at how you judge and criticize the military, because we do not know what they are really dealing with. And that's why I keep talking about transparency and the cost of secrecy. I hate putting people in double binds. I don't like being put in double binds. I spent my whole life being put in double binds. And I don't I it's very difficult to criticize the military if you don't know ultimately what they're trying to protect, either us or the human race from. So, I think it's very important that we need to be able to put ourselves in the shoes of the military and look at the world and see what they're seeing. Catherine, what do you think of California's transformation of a huge budget deficit to a budget surplus? Here's a link to Bill Maher's comments. Maher's talking about the importance of taxing upper income groups and why California did and other states didn't, and that's why California's doing so well. It's much more complicated than that. A lot of what you're looking at is Silicon Valley and Asian inflows versus states that are very commodities driven at a time when commodities are down. So I think it's it's a funny comparison, but it's really not, I would say, a responsible one. There is no doubt, however, that the taxing policies are, I would not describe them as fair, and they are in many respects serving the rich and driving inequality, but it's a much more complicated topic, so I didn't think Maher's presentation was particularly nifty. Then someone sent a great link to an interview between Tom Campbell and Bruce Lipton, which I put up on the website, and said, just some thoughts about the big picture you talk about in your wrap-up of 2015 Space-Based Economy. This YouTube or any listening of Thomas Campbell and Bruce Lipton together gives a good idea about the big picture and where we're all going. What Lipton and Campbell are talking about is one way I would say it, I doubt they would say it, is how the field works and how our energetic world works. And I think it's I agree with the person who sent this comment. It's very important to understand that we have Salieri reports with Lynn McTaggart and Dr. Tiller, and I would strongly recommend you listen to them, because this gets back to the what I was saying about the covenant is real. It's living. It's alive. We need to invest in it. We need to nurture it. We need to create a field which is the basis of really recreating and preserving what we have that is very much worth preserving. It's why Dr. Farrell always talks about preserving Western culture. Okay, this one is a long one, so I'm gonna skip in it. Catherine, first, I want to thank you for your audio recordings for your subscribers, such as I. I just finished listening to you and Joseph, and it has resonated with me completely. I've followed the changes of this world for many years, but now it is very difficult as a pastor's wife and teacher of the women and children in our church family. I honestly don't have time to follow the world changes as I used to. Because of Solaria.com, I'm able to stay connected, and I thank you for that. For me, your audio recordings are the most valuable because I can only spend time with you as I'm winding down for the evening in darkness next to a sleeping husband. Since we've been in Mexico for the past few years, we've had a profound repetition of the same question from the Mexican people. They truly understand that what happens in the U.S. eventually trickles into their country. We're repeatedly been told this trickle used to take 15 to 20 years, but today is happening at an alarming rate of 2 to 5 years. The people here do not like what they are seeing in the U.S. And as Joseph said in your audio, these people are hard workers, family-oriented, and to add, they are God-fearing. But this is changing. They fear greatly that the family values are deteriorating. Women, rather than being home and their focus being about their husband and children, there's a feminist arrogance in the attitude of the women. Disney is everywhere down here like an idol. The younger Mexican people look no different than Americans. They are losing their culture, their values, and their spiritual way of things. It is like a panic in the people when they see the craziness of what is happening to America through the media outlets. The Christian and religious people no longer desire what America has to offer them and their children, and they are turning to us to give them hope that bad values and actions happening in my country won't come to their country. I certainly can't promise them it won't happen, but it does seem to be coming here at the speed of a freight train, and no one is talking about it or trying to help the Mexican people. It's as if the deeper government that has bent on destroying my country has stretched out their filth to Mexico and will do the same here. Do you talk much about what is going on down here in Mexico or in this country of no significance in the Mr. Global agenda? Just a side note, when we came here, a dollar got us 10 pesos. Now it has almost doubled. It gets us 18.5 pesos to the dollar. It's good for us, but not so good for the people here. And when the oil prices tanked a while back, it was amazing the swiftness and rental amounts that changed. We went from 25,000 pesos for a house a month to 12,000 pesos a month in less than 10 months. A lot of homes went vacant for that 10 months when the oil platforms in the Gulf of Mexico started cutting back. I don't know if you're already aware of what I've shared, but I wanted you to hear from someone who is living it in real time. Also, the media down here is portraying Donald Trump as a crazy person and Hillary Clinton as a criminal who will win the presidency despite all that. When you mentioned it would come to two choices running, a crazy person versus a criminal, and if the criminal wins, then crime pays, I said to myself, we're there. God help us all, save those who need saving, and keep those who have saved faithfully, who are saved faithful to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm happy you were a speed reader because I just realized this went long. Take care, and I pray for you often. What she's describing is the debasement process we are all dealing with. A lot of this is driven by digital media and powerful entertainment content. Remember, it comes down to, do we invent our world, or does somebody manipulate us into inventing the world they want to exist? And that's very much part of what the mind control technology is about. Some of us are immune and some are not. And we have to be prepared to nurture and help those who have an immunity, want to develop and protect their immunity. And one of the things you'll see happen is people who don't and aren't immune, you see terrible splits in family among friends as sort of the mind control technology takes over one person and doesn't take over the others. One of the things I would also recommend in terms of movies to see is They Live. I do recommend that. Hello, do you anticipate government confiscation or of precious metals? I think our corrupt government is capable of anything. I don't expect government confiscation of precious metals, and I'll tell you why. And in the precious metals market reports, we have a lot of conversations with Franklin Sanders on this. Precious metals is a very small part of financial holdings of American households. The last time the government confiscated precious metals, it was a very large part. And I think even though the government reserves the right legally to confiscate anything, including precious metals, I just think you'd pick on the most ornery crowd and you'd get very little money for it. I think the danger is that they pass consistently more rules about how you can invest your IRAs or your 401ks, and they do the same thing they're doing now with bank deposits, which is essentially channeling an enormous amount of personal savings into government bonds through the balance sheets of the banks, particularly the small banks. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's small and big banks at essentially a zero interest rate. And that is a daily rolling confiscation of everybody's personal wealth. We keep waiting for this big bang event, like the big bang collapse or the big bang confiscation. What you're watching through debasement of currency or the engineering through the bank and bank deposits, it's essentially confiscation of wealth, and it's ongoing and it's now. It's not in the future. It's now. Dear Catherine, you've mentioned that the total amount of bailouts exceeded $27 trillion. How would you handle the situation instead and walk us through what would have happened differently by utilizing your approach? It depends. I would have to be in the situation, or I would have had to have access to more information, the kind of information you have access to if you were the Secretary of Treasury. So it depends on what information I would have been able to get a hold of and what I could have gotten the military and intelligence community and some of the G7 leaders to support me in doing. But I assure you, if the government was going to put out equity, it was going to get equity interest in what it put out. So I assure you it would have been done differently. Dear Catherine, with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton being the presumptive nominees, how much impact will the powers that be have in determining which one will become president? A great deal, an enormous amount. But remember, the establishment is divided. It's going to come down to several teams, and those teams are going to have a serious competition. And it's possible to come into the final election with a consensus in the establishment for one versus the other. Or it's possible to come into the election with a real fight and debate still going on. Dear Catherine, I greatly enjoyed meeting with you and other Salaria subscribers at Lunch with Catherine event that you held here in Southern California a few years ago. Have you ever considered hosting either a one-time or annual multi-day Salaria conference where we could travel to a specific location to hear both you and other speakers while also networking with wonderful like-minded Salaria subscribers? Given our experience to date, lunches work, they're effective for people. Workshop and conferences are problematic. That's why I like going to the Secret Space Program conferences, because they do all the work. We just show up and people can gather. I hope they have one in 2016. We've talked about doing something in the Australian Outback. That would be very expensive, but that is one thing that, you know, I'm sort of holding out in the invention room that I would like to do at some point. Dear Catherine, in the past, I've reviewed the Rambus report, and I have to say, with my knowledge of finance and mathematics, I'm simply not able to make much sense out of the report. If I got this view on gold right, it seems to me, if I got his view on gold right, it seems to me that he did not get right, because gold is up, right? That's not necessarily true. Rambus called the 2011 drop, but he's been tracking with the rises and investing in precious metals as he goes. So I'm not sure you're right about that. And my question request is, could you please do a bit of translation of what his data shows that the non-educated financial subscriber can get a sense of too? I'll try and do a better job. Okay, so our interview tonight is the second part of News Trends and Stories. As I said last week, we have spent enormous extra effort this time around on the News Trends and Stories, in part because so much is happening. But the other part is I really want you to see the important trends. I think it's so critical to you knowing how to navigate in this environment. And of course, we always, Joseph and I always enjoy chewing through these. So we divided it in two parts because it's just too many stories and it got too long. Anyway, tonight is on space and technology. It's just a great discussion. And because of what's happening in technology, I wanted to also point out I've had a wonderful colleague and ally, Jason Worth, writing a series of book reviews reading on robotics, artificial intelligence, and digital systems. The latest one up this week, The Hacked World Order, How Nations Fight, Trade, Maneuver, and Manipulate in the Digital Age. As you know, I'm very interested in how we're going to have the Internet of Things when none of these systems have integrity. I mean, why would you want to ride around in a driverless car when everybody's hacking your driverless car? I can't imagine it. Can you imagine driving down the highway and somebody hacks into your car and basically says you empty out your bank accounts to them or they're going to crash your car? I mean, imagine. So we're watching an explosion of value creation as a result of technology, but also an explosion of value destruction. So it's called creative destruction, and it's accelerating. Anyway, so great interview and a lot happening with technology. Okay, that's it for this week. Next week, the blockbuster Churchology with Rambus, combined with the second quarter equity overview. We're going to look at all the asset allocations, cash, commodities, equities, fixed income, but with a special focus on the equity markets and precious metals and potentially where the risks and opportunities are. Then the last week in July, we'll be doing our big theme for the second quarter wrap-up, productivity, prosperity, and the Popsicle Index. You've been seeing and reading a lot in the business press about productivity falling. People are very worried about it. It's one of the reasons you see this promoting women angle to the, you know, sort of the soft power. And but it is an important discussion, and I think a lot of the things that the leadership is doing to consolidate control top down is destroying productivity, and we need to talk about that and talk about that now. And then the following week, we're going to be back with Harry Blaser and another great interview in the Solari Food Series. Harry's been traveling the country and talking to some of the greatest leaders in the food area, and we have a lot of very exciting things to come. I'm very excited about that. So until July 21st with a blockbuster Churchology with Rambus and the second quarter equity review, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you definitely need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.